Come play in our yard, you Hollywood types. Bring us your movies. Bring us your pilots. Bring us your TV shows.
This is The Bicoastal Actor, a podcast about being an actor in Los Angeles or Atlanta. I am Jeff Holbrook here in Atlanta, and with me this week and every week is Ben Austin. I'm in Atlanta, Ben is in L.A. If you like this podcast, you can find more shows like this over at polarpodcast.com. Benjamin!
Jeffrey.
How's your week?
My week is fantastic.
We've got some follow-up to do from the first show, but I would love to just pop quiz, ask you the thing that I so got in the habit of asking, and you answer as much as you care to or as much as you don't. What's happened for you this week that has advocated for your acting career?
Ooh, I love this question because it excites me in a positive way and in a kind of anxious, oh my God, I'm starting to sweat because now I have to give answers, real concrete answers about my artistic career, which is just a weird phrase in itself. My artistic career. So what have I done to advocate for myself? I enjoyed the holidays. You know, like most of my working life, most of my life, actually, I've had such an anxiety about getting work done during the holidays. Too much time off and I start to feel anxious, like I'm going to get in trouble for having time off. And, you know, that's just my personality. And then compound that with a creative career, an artistic career, where sometimes working means that you're not doing anything. You're just letting it doesn't appear that you are doing anything. You're letting your brain, the creative part, relax and just do what it does without you having to try. And you're also just having a life, because that's what we're supposed to do as human beings, is have a life. So anyway, that's what I did. That's part of what I did. There are many other things that I did to advocate for myself, including a very interesting job change, which gives me more time. I can now schedule my own time, which allows me to do what I need to do as an actor, as well as make some money with a day job.
Nice. So you took some time to have a life, to be human. Teach me, Benjamin, what it means to be human.
It generally starts with popcorn or potato chips, a cozy chair, love seat, or couch. Preferably some episodes of Doctor Who. If you can't get that, then I suggest board games with family members or friends. And in my case, with my lovely girlfriend. Too personal.
Back up. We are in the personal zone.
Yeah. Now,
there's no such thing as too personal on a podcast. Just ask that guy about a podcast with about foot fungus and showering habits.
Oh, wow.
He doesn't get many listeners.
Is it a podcast about foot fungus?
Well, it's a video podcast. That's what's terrifying.
Oh, my God. I am so glad that I'm a Luddite sometimes. I'm a hermit, and I don't pay attention to what's going on in current events.
Here we have the toe jam spludger, and you just kind of, you work her in there. We should really get back to talking about acting and stuff, because I think that's what we're better at.
Yeah, and I was going to ask the question, what's a spludger? And really, I don't want to know.
No.
So don't answer.
You do not. You do not want to know. So a little bit of follow-up. So last show, we were talking about pilots, and we were talking about the volume of work in Atlanta versus the volume of work in LA, and I think I sold Atlanta short. We can get to that in a minute, but I think that I really need to go to bat for my town here. Put on my Atlanta ball cap and be like, hey, you Hollywood types, yo, come on over, come play in our. That's my Atlanta accent.
That's Atlanta.
Come play in our yard, you Hollywood types. Bring us your movies. Bring us your pilots, bring us your TV shows.
You can't do the Brooklyn or whatever that is.
Nobody cares. The point is, there's a lot of work here. And for me to sit here and go on last episode about how I'm not sure, you know, how much stuff there is of substance in Atlanta, I realize is me looking at a gift horse in the mouth. And when I go back and I look at the reasonable amount that I have booked,
yeah,
I realize, like, I'm a moron. There's plenty of work here.
You're not a... I don't think you're a moron. I think, honestly, it's like we were talking about last time. It's just volume. Look at the volume here, look at the volume there, and you could be deceived by the amount of stuff that's being produced here. But you got to look at the relative people who are there to do the job. So in Atlanta, I think by your own account, there's lots of work to be had. There's lots of work to be had. You've booked more, I think, commercially this year than I did in a year and a half here, for sure. Absolutely. So you got to look at that and just figure there's a lot of work in Atlanta. There's a lot of work in LA. Neither one of us is hurting for work to go get.
Right.
It's the getting of the work.
Well, and realizing that, I think it is perfectly possible to make a living as an actor in Atlanta. And I got to do a lot of commercials, but one of the first things I booked was an episode of a TV show. And here and there out for the past year or so, I've gotten like a small residual check here or there. But recently I got a pretty reasonable residual check. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fantastic. Like if I were able to book more of that kind of work, then, I would be less pressured to have to do as much with day jobs and side jobs and all those other kinds of things. When I think about the other people that I know in this town who are booking all the time, and I mean just booking all the time, and who are booking, TV shows, or who are booking commercials for like Delta, where they get, $10,000 residual payments and those kinds of things, it suddenly paints a different picture of the quality of work that is in this town.
Oh, yeah. And I would say, in my limited experience, there was all kinds of commercial work to book in Atlanta when I was there. That exists here as well, but here you've got the added theatrical. I'd say TV shows mostly here. There's, of course, there are also movies, of course. But this actually... I can't not bring it up. I was listening to NPR today in the car, and what were they talking about? They were talking about, and I have to try to remember the phrase that they used, runaway productions. And the idea, now that you got to figure, this is local California, Los Angeles.
Is this KCRW?
This is, 89.3. I don't remember the call sign.
I don't know. I listen to KCRW.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well,
yeah.
They were talking about tax incentives. They were talking about runaway productions. They were talking about the incentives that other states are offering and how those incentives are being used and the amount of money in other states. For example, $435 million in tax credits in New York versus $100 million in California. Mm-hmm. In tax credits. It's insane. No wonder productions are leaving the state, and that's just sort of the tip of the iceberg on reasons why, but that's a huge reason,
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of hubbub. There's a lot of fervor actually, and it's building about productions leaving California and going to other states that offer tax incentives. And other incentives.
It's funny because I'm running into people here on jobs that move here to Atlanta, especially when they used to live here, when they were younger. Like, oh, I lived in Atlanta. I went out to L.A. I did that. And I came back to Atlanta for all the reasons that people say they leave L.A., the city and the life and everything else. And they come here. And this one person in particular says, and I just started, booking more, which makes sense because it's a smaller market.
Right.
But I started booking more and I started, doing my work, and all of my friends in LA are calling me saying, hey, can you get me represented by your agent here in Atlanta? And there's a shift happening in the agencies here where they are way less interested in doing that. The agencies here now are forming a coalition of talent agencies where they want to cultivate the talent that's here. And if you're on the fence about, well, I want to work in LA and I want to be represented in Atlanta and, I've got one foot here and one foot there, they want you to commit. to one side or the other.
Of course, because it is pretty difficult to get somebody out of state hired locally. Because I ran into this on a commercial I was doing. I had to be a local to do this commercial, and fortunately, I was able to work that out. And I think that had a lot to do with me getting hired. I mean, they also wanted me because of the look and because of what I brought. But it doesn't help that I was able to have local status somewhere that other people weren't able to. People were coming from out of state to do this commercial, to audition, just to audition for this commercial. I could do local, and so they didn't have to pay me to fly in. They didn't have to pay me a meal and board and all of that. So that's definitely part of what people are looking at, what production companies and what producers and everyone are looking at when they're trying to decide, well, who do we hire and where do we do this? So of course the talent, the agencies are going to want their folks to be local, because then they don't have to go through all of that. They just say, yeah, of course, my guy's local. He's the one that you want for this local production. It seems pretty much a no-brainer. Now, what I would love is for my agency to have a branch in LA. I just don't think that that's a possibility for them yet. Maybe it is. I hope they're talking about it. I know that they had offices in Los Angeles. Not Los Angeles, I'm sorry. I was thinking LA, Louisiana. They had offices in New Orleans. And so they're trying to branch out. I really, really hope that my Atlanta agent makes their way out here, because that's someone that knows me. They know my work. And if I have them representing me here, making connections for me here, well, that's fantastic. Then it makes that ability to transition between Georgia and Atlanta, Georgia and Los Angeles, it's a no-brainer. Then I can just say, here's my representation on the East Coast, here's my representation on the West Coast. Guess what? Same people.
On a related note, what have you gathered other actors, what have you gathered that other people's opinion in LA is of the other markets around the country and in Canada? Like, what are people in LA saying about Atlanta? What are they saying about Vancouver? What are they saying about New Orleans, where there's been some work picking up?
I think it varies from person to person. The discussion right now is more about we're losing our jobs. And I hate that that's the tone of the discussion, but it is, and it's a very real concern in LA, I think, for actors, because it trickles down, but definitely for producers and for studios and for local unions and people who live and work in this state. So I would hate to gauge what some people are saying about other markets right now, because there's a real fear that other markets are going to seriously damage the market in California and Los Angeles, more so than they already have. I don't think you can stop this vehicle. It's already going. Part of this conversation on NPR this morning was about that. It's going worldwide. How do we in Los Angeles and California compete, not just get it back? I think it's already happened. The horse has already left the barn?
Right. You're trying to latch the barn door after the horses have already left.
No, it's about how to entice that horse to hang out in the pasture next to the barn. You know, what are we going to do to, you know, we need more horses. I don't know how the metaphor continues. I just know that it's more, I think, at this point about continuing to be a competitive market, enough so that we don't, by we, I mean Los Angeles, we don't lose more business. Then maybe we can concern ourselves with attracting business back. But again, I'm from Georgia originally. I like the idea of the market spreading out worldwide. I know that makes it more difficult for me, but and for other actors and people locally, but I kind of hope that we just get a bigger entertainment industry and, you know, Johnny Appleseed the world with independent and startup production companies.
So going out there and meeting lots of people and spreading the business around, which I think kind of segues into what our tentative topic for today was, which was networking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to put scare quotes around networking because for some people it's a very dirty word.
Yeah.
You know, it implies something.
It depends on where you're at, too. It takes on different connotations and different, I think, on our two different coasts. It really does.
Well, I don't know anyone who wants to be networked with. You know, I know people who want to have a conversation, who want to connect with people, but I don't know anyone that wants to feel like, because I know what that is, to feel like you've been networked with.
Yeah.
Or to be on the other side of it, where you're in a room with people you feel like you should get to know, and you want to find a way to approach them without being that person who's, you know, just oozing the network. I want to meet you because I have something to gain from it directly kind of vibe.
Not to contradict you, but I think there are some people who are completely fine with it. Now, I don't advocate that. I think that that's it cheapens both parties. I don't think it's a good thing. But I will say that I've met some folks who are not at all disturbed by networking the way that you're talking. That's sort of, I'm going to use you and you are going to use me for our connections. And that's a scary prospect. And I also, while those people might be, I think that they're a fact of the industry, I don't know that they're a necessity. Because I think you're right. I think there are more people who would like to have relationships, not just a network.
Okay, Ben, let me spitball you a hypothetical here.
Spit away.
Imagine you're a total newbie to this. You're not used to acting, you know, you're getting into it, maybe you've had some parts, whatever, and you're finally in a position where you realize there are people to know and you want to get to know them. How the heck do you make that that approach? How do we reconcile that there are situations where I need to get to know you and you need to get to know me because it could be mutually advantageous and it not feel like a slime fest.
Right. I think there's different levels to this answer. So the one that's most important to me, the level that I think you just need to operate on as a human being, is to continue to be a human being. Don't cheapen yourself by trying to just appeal to what the other person wants. Don't try to be an automaton. Don't try to mimic what you think they want or need. For two reasons. One, because that's doing away with the best part of you. The best part of you is the unique part of you. You're you. There's not another you. You may be able to be typed and put into these categories, but you are you. That's what you've got. You need to work with that because that's your biggest asset. And the other part of it is people, especially the people in the upper echelons of this industry, a lot of them are really smart. You're not fooling them. And they don't want you to try to. They want genuine people. They want to meet decent, genuine people. Nobody likes meeting a slime ball. You know, that's, nobody likes that. It's nasty. So try not to be a slime ball. Try to be you, unless you just happen to be a slime ball. And then, you know, there's a part for you out there somewhere. but just don't cheapen the interaction with another human being by trying to figure out what they want. What do they want from me? What can I give them? You can give them you. That's what you're supposed to do. Don't sweat whether or not that's what they want. Because if you keep giving you genuine experience of you every time, eventually the person that you're supposed to connect with, the person that's going to be interested in putting you in their show, marketing you, or presenting you to casting directors, you know, I'm talking about agents and managers right now, they are going to go, oh, this is exactly the person I've been looking for. And all you've had to do is just be you, be genuine. So that's a very meta version. That's the side that's very like philosophical, I suppose, if you want to aggrandize that. And then on a very practical level, you got to go out and you meet people. You got to go to plays, or you got to take classes, or you got to take the dreaded casting director workshops. There's a big fuss about that out here sometimes. Oh, I've been to so many casting director workshops. I'm just paying them to, you know, see me, and then they do nothing and I didn't get anything out of it. No, no, no. Well, how are you working that workshop? Because it's not a sit there and be a bump on a log shop.
No, no, Benjamin, you got it all wrong.
It's a workshop.
No, you got it all wrong. What you do, Ben, is you find the most expensive workshop you can.
Right.
All right.
Yes.
With the most important contact that you want to make.
Uh-huh.
And you go down to Kmart and you get some sweatpants. All right. And you take the sweatpants, you know, and you need about a week to really set this up properly. But you need to take the sweatpants. You need to go do some gardening for a while. You need to like wash your dog. Mm-hmm. You know, just really break them in. And then, you know, then
What about exercise? Should you do exercise in them? Some sort of.
Yeah, of course. It's LA. You're going to do exercise all the time. You got to keep your actor body in shape, your instrument.
Squats.
You have to keep your instrument in shape, you know.
And deep sumo squats and yoga stretches. Yeah.
Yeah. And after that's, you know, cured for about a week, and then it is ready, Ben, for you to take out of the dresser that you keep on your sun porch to wear at this workshop after you have had a hero with a lot of onions and a big cup of coffee.
A hero?
You call them gyros. You Luddites call them gyros. And a cup of coffee for your two-person Meisner film intensive with this important casting director. That's how you do it, Ben. I don't know what they teach you in L.A., but in Atlanta, we know what we're doing, man.
I think you just taught a workshop right there. That was it. And it was free. I got a workshop for free, folks.
You know, we give here at Polar Studios. We like to give.
Whether people receiving
whether you want it or not,
we're gonna give it to you.
So is that really a big deal?
It can be.
I mean, I know a lot of beginning actors who get real squirmy about I've got to pay to get seen in this workshop, and you hear, but I spent all this money on school already, and I've spent all this money on the headshots and the things that I need to do the work. But you mean I also have to pay to get seen in front of casting directors, or I have to pay to take this class with someone who's not a casting director, but I've got to take this class so that I can meet people?
I think that if you are looking at it from the viewpoint of what's the cheapest way to become the most successful as fast as possible, you're not actually getting the point. You're kind of missing what this is about. I want to spend no money and be famous in 5 minutes. So how do I do that? That's, well, I guess you could, but to me that is cheapening you, and that's cheapening what we do. And I'm sorry, but people that learn how to do a job and do it well generally have to take a class. They generally have to do something that where they learn, and what you're learning when you go to casting workshops, casting director workshops, is you're learning what that casting director wants. That's very important. They have a process, and if they're not, now there is a little bit, you got to be smart. You can't just go in and expect that, well, I'm going to pay for any old casting director workshop, and I'm going to walk in and, well, I'm going to be a star. You got to do some research and figure out who's working on what show and what the workshop's going to be like, what it's going to be about. You know, you got
to slow down, cowboy. Slow down, cowboy. I'm already a star, all right? Like, look, they just need to know, right? Like, I don't understand, Ben. Why can't I not just show up somewhere? I mean, like, I've got the talent. I've got the skill. You know, why do I have to take a workshop? Why can't I just be there and they're just going to find me, right? Like, they're just going to find me. That's all I got to do, right?
That's a wonderful plot for a fairy tale movie about Hollywood.
But you hear that. But you hear that so much.
A Hollywood fairy tale about Hollywood. I'm pretty sure that movie has been made. I didn't see the whole thing, but didn't Mulholland Drive start off that way?
I don't know. But I'm just like, saying. You hear,
yeah, you hear that.
People just,
hear,
they're like, I put in all this work. I put in all these hours. You know, hear, I've done all this stuff. Why isn't it just, when is it going to be my turn? Why isn't it just happening?
That's just, wow. I think we're at the heart of something that's, it's really the problem is when is it going to be my turn? It's always your turn. I'm choosing not to use explicatives right now. It's always your turn. Now, what you're doing with your turn is sort of the point. If you're wasting your turn on being self-centered, vacuous, selfish, and saying mine, 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 but this is mine, then you know, nobody's going to want to work with you. Nobody wants to work with somebody who's greedy and is going to take it all for themselves.
I like that. Wasting your turn.
Well, I mean, that's what it is. That's what it is. You get a chance every day that you wake up, breathe, and walk outside. That's your turn every single day. So what are you doing with your day? And I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty about what they're doing. I just, at the beginning of this, was talking about how I watched Doctor Who with my girlfriend and played board games for the holiday. But that's something I wanted to
do. So who the hell are you? Come on.
I'm the guy who gets to enter his work week going, I already did my playtime. Now I'm going to go work. And when my work is done, I will have earned my playtime again. Because it's just that. Every day, go to work. Every day, earn your playtime.
So you're saying you got to be self-motivated. You're saying you got to do it. Do you have? You're saying the obvious. And, you're actually making very good
and
points.
And yet, some people don't get it. Yeah.
Do you have anything that you, Benjamin, do that ritualizes that at all? Like ritualizes going to work. You know, that puts you, what do you do that puts you in the mindset of, okay, Doctor Who time is over, and now, you know, I've got some serious shit to do here, so let me get to it.
I do. And actually, you've reminded me of something. You've reminded me of one of the things that the workshop that I mentioned in the last episode was by a woman named Dallas Travers. And I'm going to continue to talk about Dallas and the things that she talks about. And actually, she's been very gracious and said, go for it. Talk about my workshop. Talk about me. Please go for it. And just make sure you mentioned where you heard this from. And it's great stuff. It's something as simple as if you're going to go to work. Like for me, my job right now, I get to do it from home. I get to make phone calls. And then set up my day in a way that makes sense for me based on, you know, what I need to do for the day. I could do those phone calls in my jams, in my sweatpants that I cured in the sun-blasted chest on my front porch after doing yoga and gardening. I could do that. But instead, before I get to the meat of my work, before I speak to a human being about business, I take a shower and comb my hair and put on my work clothes. I put on a button-up shirt and some slacks, and I make myself presentable. They can't see me on the other end of the phone, but I know that I'm ready for work. I know that I am now no longer sleepy and needing coffee and a you know, blueberry muffin or something. I'm ready to work now. And then at the end of the day, I can take off my shoes and I can unbutton that shirt and I can relax and go, work day is over. Now at this time, I'm not answering business calls. I am doing playtime. I am doing recoup, re-energize time. Because yes, you have to be self-motivated, but you also have to be motivated to be a human being. You got to do your downtime. You got to recharge so that you can attack it again the next day. I've done the thing where you just go 24 hours a day worrying about your career and your job. But if you're going 24 hours a day, when are you resting? When are you having a life? When are you doing the things that make your life something more than just effort? Just constant grinding effort. You got to have something to actually be working for.
It's funny. I'm usually the guy who has a hard time taking off his workday shirt and not just continuing to grind. And it's exactly what you talk about. It's depleting. The more and more you just work and work and work, mm-hmm. the more depleting it is. On the flip side of that,
There's something that happens when you do that. Just taking it back to networking. When you're that guy, people see that. You're the guy that shows up to the party ready to talk business. Now, it may
Oh, man, you look tired. You all right?
Nobody wants to work with a guy that looks
like... Yeah, I just got these workshops I got to do. I'm editing this web series. And I've got all these podcasts.
I know. You're talking about these fantastic things that people would want to be doing, podcasts and web series and all of that. And you're talking about it like it's a burden. Nobody wants to work with that guy. They just don't. It's already work. Let's not make it torture as well.
Put him on the rack, George.
Podcast. Web series. Podcast. Oh, no. I have to do another storyboard.
Take him down. So, yeah, you can overwork. You can blow the bulb out. Absolutely. Been there. Definitely have done that. I personally have been on the other side of it, too. Where you have no motivation, and I don't know if it comes after a period of burnout or what, but just times where play and free time, which is something that we all want, mm-hmm. where free time becomes a prison, where it becomes, I know I should be doing these things for my career, but I'm too tired, or I don't have the internal, I might have the energy, but I don't have the internal motivation for whatever reason to do it, or I'm depressed, or I can't do whatever it is that creates the primary action for me to take the next step to do something to advance my career. And every minute that doesn't happen, I feel heavier and heavier and guiltier about it. And it's harder to pick up that weight to you know, forget starting. I'm so far down the line of failures by not doing anything for the past day that forget it. You know, what's the point?
Yeah.
And what the hell do you do with that?
Well, and it's also a simple answer, and it's maybe not the one that most people want to hear. And it's not this simple, really. There's complication in here, but I think you start with pick up your butt and do something. Just do something. Just do something. Action creates more action. You know, if you're in such a slump that you don't want to do anything, then getting up and putting on a clean pair of pants, a clean shirt, and then going out and looking for a free, yes, they exist, free workshop, that's going to feel like you just accomplished something amazing.
When you find tricks that make whatever the next thing you're doing easier, you find habits, you know, you build new habits because what's a habit? It's a thing you keep doing over and over that eventually will define who you are.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes there are tricks that can help us get out of certain habits. Like you're talking about going to a free workshop, and I think finding a free workshop is great, but what's the real benefit is that you're out of the house doing something even vaguely related to your field, but you're back out in the world again with people.
Yes.
And whether anything long-term comes out of that or not, just the fact that you have radically changed environments, that we are social creatures and that we are around people, even if we're feeling curmudgeonly. Mm-hmm. I certainly have very curmudgeonly days where I don't want to be around people, but going out to even just a coffee shop where I don't have to talk to anybody, but I'm around people, gets me some energy, even without the coffee, to get some work done, something done.
Yeah, and what's going to happen when you... I've got too many thoughts running around in my head right now. One, introversion.
Wrangle them.
I got the horns and I'm down on the ground and it's four hooves tied up. I'm ready to go. So introversion is not a bad thing. Okay? Let's just set that right now. Being an introvert is not a negative thing. There's this, I think, misconception. If you're an introvert, then you're antisocial. I don't think that's the case. I think if you're an introvert, you just don't want to be the center of attention and you're looking in at yourself. You are observing what's going on within you. And that's important. Extroverts, I think, are very often observing everything going on around them and interacting with it, right? Introverts are observing themselves. They're observing other people. and they're thinking about it. We need both of those things. I personally am sort of both. I go between the two, and I'm happy that way. I used to think that I should be more extroverted, and then I get in this cycle of guilt about it, and then I pull further into myself, but then make myself go out there, and I'd end up acting like an idiot, you know, just a fool, just a crazy, uncontrollable fool.
I was there. I have photographic evidence.
And you're going to burn it. You're going to burn it right after.
I already did.
Excellent. Not to a disc, though.
Oh.
No, no. Physically burn the stuff, Jeff.
To a disc, yeah.
No, no. Fine. But then burn the disc with flame.
So getting out there in the world.
Right.
Doing things.
Even if you're networking. An introvert. Even if you're an introvert, go to Starbucks or your particular local coffee shop, which is much moodier than Starbucks. And sit there and watch people and then write down your observations and don't feel bad about not going up to a complete stranger and saying, hey, do you want to read my treatment for my new web series? That's fine. That's what you have friends for. You don't have to go talk to a complete stranger for that. Go to a free networking event. Go to a free workshop introduction class. I've done two of those so far and loved them so much that I took the classes, but I felt like I got something out of each of the preview classes, enough that I could have walked away and gone, this is great. I actually have momentum to take another action, to do something else. And met people at both of them that I can call up if I need to and say, hey, what are you doing? Or would you read this script? Or, you know, do you know a guy with a camera? What did you think of this workshop? Have you heard of any other good ones? So, yeah, the networking events, they get kind of a bad rap. And yes, there are bad ones out there. And yes, there are scams out there. But they're still pretty important, I think. I think you gotta do your research and you got to find the good ones and go try them out.
That kind of answers the question that I brought up earlier was, how do you handle situations where, you know, you know I've got to meet you and you've got to meet me because there might be something beneficial. There you go. You said the words, networking event. You might as well go do it because the expectation is already there. And that already, I think, might take some of the stigma out of it. It's not a bad thing. You're there to meet people.
It's only a bad thing. The idea. It's only a bad thing if you make it a bad thing. And if you go.
Right. If you make it a bad experience.
Yeah. If you go and you make it an excellent experience for yourself and for others, well, it's an excellent experience for yourself and for others.
And I think it's really important it's important if you're moving into a new place, right? Like I don't know what the scene is here in this town. Mm-hmm. I need a way to get in and meet people just so I have some clue of which way is up. I think especially if you're moving to a new market, especially if you're older and you don't have, you know, experience, because I think there's a lot of questions that could be answered there. And maybe one day we'll talk about the concept of, you know, does your moment ever pass? Is it ever too late to start this journey?
When you've expired and are no longer breathing, then yes. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I have a pretty absolute opinion about this. You're done when you're done. It's always your turn, and you're done when you stop breathing. That's, and I don't mean to be a crass or a jerk or anything like that, but you choose your
Oh yeah, Ben, right, you're a real jerk for saying that people can always achieve their dreams at any age. You bastard, you terrible bastard.
I mean, okay, let's just take our particular, yes, in some fields that you don't want, what you don't want an 80-year-old as your what's a field where you wouldn't want an 80-year-old man?
Salty shop foreman.
That's still...
Yar, this here be the table solves. Lost my hand, old Gertie in 86.
I'd still be okay with that. I think you don't want... In our field, I'll stop saying what you don't want. I'll say what is positive. In our field, we need a salty shop, an 80-year-old salty shop foreman in this movie or that movie or TV show or play. There's always
time. Yes, someone has to pick up the 80-year-old shop foreman's residual checks. It might as well be you if you fit the bill.
Seriously, let's stop beating ourselves up for being who we are and just be who we are and get paid for it.
There you go. There you go. That's what we should leave him with. That's it. Go be who you are and go figure out a way to get paid for it.
Word.
I think that's good. You got anything else, Ben? We're going to wrap it up for the day.
Let me just do a quick plug at the end, and then I'll do a plug at the beginning or something of our next one, because I really want people to know that Dallas Travers has got some upcoming innovations. A lot of the stuff that I got inspiration from came from her Blueprint workshop. And you can go research it and find out what it's about. Ooh, Blueprint. What does that mean? It's you building your own thing.
Speaking of, I'll put a link to Dallas Travers, to her website, and links to everything we've talked about will be at the show notes for this episode at bicoastalactor.com/101.
Right. And I'll tell you what they are right now. Actorbusinessblueprint.com. Actorsbusinessblueprint.com is the website for the online Actors Blueprint. That's something that they're doing new starting January the 23rd. It's the Blueprint workshop that I took live with Dallas, except it's going to be online. So you could take it in Atlanta. You can take it in New York. You can take it in Toledo, wherever Toledo is.
Ohio, Benjamin. It's in Ohio. It's in Ohio.
Ohio. Ohio. I know two things about Ohio. Toledo's there. Half of Jeff's family is in Ohio. I know three things about Ohio. If you're in Ohio, you can do the Actors Business Blueprint online.
Tell you what, Ben, I got three problems in Ohio.
What are they, Jeff?
I don't know, but a blank ain't one of them. Keep going.
You've also got DallasTravers.com. That's Dallas, like the city, Travers, TRAVERS.com. Check out Dallas. Check out her website. Check out her innovations. I find a lot of these things to be useful, even if I'm not doing exactly what she taught in the blueprint. It's inspired me to do my own version, and that's, I think, one of the things that's really beneficial about doing the workshops. I wanted to say Ohio, and suddenly I was like, oh, Toledo is in Ohio? That can't be right. That can't be right. What's in Ohio? I haven't been to Ohio. I know nothing about Ohio.
All right, Ben. We got to get out of here.
We probably should cut like 5 minutes ago.
We probably should have, but we did not. If you like the show, then please rate it on iTunes, because that's going to help us out. If you don't like the show, go over to polarpodcast.com and find something that you do like. Until next week, Benjamin, I have been and always shall be your friend.
That's very touching. Oh, I'm your friend too. We're friends. That's nice.
You bastard. All right, talk to you next week.
All right, bye.